Going to be over in 1 Kings chapter 3. It is excited to see God moving in the brothers and sisters. Today, the sermon we're going to talk about, ask for the right thing first. Don't know if you noticed, listen to all the songs, but maybe they would come back to mind. They all kind of had a theme, just really leaning into the Lord, going to God first about a lot of things. But we're going to talk about asking for the right thing first this morning. Have you ever stepped into a season that felt too big for you?
Yes.
A responsibility that felt heavier than your shoulders could carry. Mm-hmm. A calling that made you whisper, "Lord, I don't know what I am doing." Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's Solomon. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. That's Solomon. You see Solomon, a young king who, guess what, inherited a massive kingdom, who has been given a divine assignment, and he has a heart that feels overwhelmed. You know, we have felt what Solomon has felt in our lifetime. You know, we all have had a massive problems. We have been assigned things to us, and sometimes when those things have been assigned to us, we feel like this is just overwhelming. It's too much. Look me over in 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 3. In verse 3 it says, Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given him by his father David. Except that he offered sacrifices and burnt incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, "Ask whatever you want me to give you." So we see here Solomon's going to Gibeon. He didn't go to escape, but he went to worship. And in the quiet of the night, God appears and says something breathtaking, something that just blows your mind. He says, "Ask whatever you want me to give you." Let's translate that. God just offered Solomon a blank check from heaven. Who would not want a blank check from God? Ask of me anything. You know how many times we're always asking for stuff? Mm-hmm. And imagine the Creator says, "Ask anything that you want." You know all the thoughts and things that were raced through your heart, ideas and everything. Wow. And so after God says that, pick it up in verse 6, here's Solomon answers. Solomon answers. He says, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David." I like that. He reminds God of the good that he's done, exalting God. He says, "Because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern the great people, this great people of yours?" Solomon's response was, number one, "I'm only a child in this." Number two, "Give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong." God gave him a blank check. He assessed his situation and he knew, I need help in serving these people.
Yeah.
I need help in guiding and leading these people. And look how he lifted his people up. He says, these are your people. They're great. They're great, God. But I'm a child and I need help in serving them in the right way. The one thing we learned from Solomon is that Solomon doesn't ask for wealth. Mm-hmm. But you think about us, our culture and our world. A lot of us were like, you know what? Times are hard. I need some money. Give me wealth and I figure everything else out. That's just human nature depending on where we're at.
Yeah.
Some of us power. I want to be in control so that I can make everything happen. Some of us, if we're hurting and bitter, we ask for revenge. Mm-hmm. I want to get back. Some of us fame. We want to be the person up front. We want to be the person out there that everybody sees. Some of us, we will probably ask for comfort. Because life is hard sometimes. And we just don't want it to be hard. But you know what? Solomon didn't do that. Solomon asked for wisdom. The ability to see life the way God sees it. That's what Solomon asked for. Wisdom. The ability to see life the way God sees it. When you ask God for the right thing first, it can move God to act in your favor. Picking up in verse 10, still over in 1 Kings. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. Isn't it great that God says, man, I'm happy for the thing that you asked for? It pleased him. Verse 11, he says, so God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for. That's both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime, you will have no equal among kings. Wow. You know, the first point of this is when life feels too big for you. Life felt too big for Solomon. And he had a visit from God, and they had a moment together. And God gave him a blank check and said, ask whatever you want. God knew what he needed to ask for. God knew what he needed in order to serve his people. But God put it out there to see, what are you going to ask for? What's on your heart? Let's hear you say it. And Solomon asked for wisdom. And because of that, God pointed that out. God said, man, that is pleasing. You didn't ask for none of this other stuff, but you asked for the right thing first. And because of that, I'm going to give you some other things to go with what you didn't ask for. We need to learn to ask for the right thing first.
Yes.
You know, when God gave Solomon all those extra blessings, this was grace. Wasn't a formula, wasn't a reward, no merit, just simply God's grace. You know, a pastor once told a story about two men who prayed very different prayers. One prayed, Lord, make me successful. Open doors. Give me influence. The other prayed, Lord, make me wise. Teach me how to walk in your ways. 10 years later, the first man, guess what? He had success. He got what he prayed for. But he also got burned out. Mm-hmm. Broken relationships. Mm-hmm. and spiritual emptiness. The second man, guess what? He got what he prayed for. He got wisdom. And with it came peace, stability, favor, and blessings he never asked for. The difference wasn't their talent. No, it wasn't their background. It wasn't even their opportunities. It was what they asked God for first. When you talk to God, what do you ask for first? Do you ever think about that? When you have conversations with God, what are you usually asking for first? Are you asking for wisdom to navigate through the situations? Or wisdom before you do something? Or wisdom in that situation? You know, before asking, we need to assess the situation that is in front of us or that we are in so that we can ask for the right thing first. Turn me over to Proverbs chapter 4. And the second point we're going to talk about is what you ask for reveals what you value. You know, Solomon's prayers expose a truth we often avoid. You know, your prayer request reveals your priorities. Mm-hmm. If you ask for comfort, guess what you value? Ease. Comfort. Yep, comfort and ease. If you ask for wealth, you value security. If you ask for revenge, you tend to value control. And if you ask for wisdom, you value God. Wisdom is the first request of a heart that is aligned with God. And Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5, it says, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland of grace. I'm going to give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. You know, Proverbs 4:7 sits in a tightly structured section. In verse 7, it forms this urgent call. You see, each scripture points out something. Verse 5 says what? Get wisdom. Verse 6 says you need to prize her. Verse 6 says you should guard her. Verse 8 says you should exalt. Says she exalts. And verse 9 says she crowns. All these can only happen if you what? Get wisdom. Verse 7 is the pivot point, the moment of decision. Acquire wisdom. Make it your first pursuit. Wisdom is the principal thing, the first thing, the foundational thing. We need to learn from Solomon. When you're having a conversation with the Lord, or when you go before God and you need to pray, you need to talk, your conversation should be about, or should first begin with, I need to get some wisdom. I need to ask for some wisdom. So we're going to turn to James chapter 1, verse 5. And point 3 is about how to seek wisdom today. Amity. How to seek wisdom today. You know, James 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. James begins by telling believers, actually in this whole little passage from 2 down through 5, he says, count it all joy when facing trials, because God uses them to produce endurance and maturity. But then he raises this practical question. How do you respond with joy when you don't know what to do? James 1:5 answers that question. If any of you lack wisdom, ask God, and it will be given. You know, this wisdom is not abstract intelligence. It's not abstract intelligence. It is the God-given ability to navigate trials faithfully, to discern how to respond, what to say, how to endure, how to honor God under pressure. Mm-hmm. James 1:5 is also the pivot point between verses 2 through 8. It is the pivot point between pressure and perseverance. It's the verse where God says, I will not leave you alone in your trials. I will guide you through it. All you have to do is ask for wisdom. This is where endurance becomes possible, not through human grit, but through divine wisdom. We're talking about deepening, we're talking about depending on God and not depending on ourselves. God is accessible. God is generous. We just have to ask. Let's talk about some practicals here. You know, practicals are good. Practicals are very, very good. They just help a lot. And we're talking about how to ask for wisdom today. You know, one of the ways to gain wisdom is saturate your mind in the scriptures.
Yeah.
You have to saturate your mind in the scriptures. Wisdom is not some mystical thing. You think, oh, it's mystical, it's all magical. It's not. Wisdom is biblical. We have to learn to saturate our minds with God's word. God's word trains our instinct, it shapes our decisions, and it sharpens our discernment. We need to surround ourselves with wise people. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise, and guess what? Become wise. Isn't that something? I think it reminds me of a scripture over in the New Testament, Corinthians. Bad company corrupts what?
Good character.
Wow, man. So to avoid that happen, to avoid that from happening is, we got to learn to walk with what? The wise. Remember, your circle of people that you hang with is your future. Walk with the wise. Slow down enough to discern.
Right.
Wisdom requires margin. Do you know that rushed decisions are rarely wise decisions? If you live life long enough, you know you've made some hasty decisions.
Yeah.
And they have been costly.
That's right. Yeah.
They have been painful. You hate that it happened, and it sticks with you for a while sometime. But you learn from it. You learn to never put yourself in that position again. Obey what God has already revealed. Wisdom is not just knowing. I know my Bible, I know my Bible. Wisdom, it is doing.
Yes.
It is doing. The more you obey, the more God reveals. So this week, as we continue in this week, let's talk about what to ask God for this week. Because we will be asking God for a lot of things. Every person in this room will be having a lot of conversations with God. Some of us on the way home driving, God need to talk to you. You know, we call it prayer walk, but it's going to be having a prayer drive. We need to have a conversation. And if you ever have had a prayer drive with God before, sometimes you take a slow drive. Yeah. That foot's not as heavy on the highway, is it? I'm not in a hurry to get to my destination. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to take the long way around and get lost somewhere because we need to have a long conversation. And you find out that God's been waiting on you. Waiting on you to make time to talk to him. So this week, as you go through your week, here's some things to ask God for. Ask him for a discerning heart that changes the way you think.
Yeah.
Tell God, I need a discerning heart, God. I want it to change the way that I think and feel and how I see things. Because like Solomon, I want to see things the way you see it, God. We need to ask God for clarity in confusing situations. Because when you're in a confusing situation, things are cloudy, they're not clear. And that can lead to some very hasty and rushed decisions. We need to ask God for courage. Courage to choose right over easy.
Yes.
We know ourselves. We need to choose right over easy. A lot of conversations that you have with people sometimes are not easy. But you know what? It's the right thing to do. There's the right thing to say.
Right.
Choosing right over easy is about choosing God over what you want. We need to ask God for sensitivity to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Which means I will be quiet and listen. Because sometimes that's what's required.
Yeah.
I just need to be quiet and just listen. We need to ask God for understanding in relationships.
Yeah.
Because relationships, as great as they are, as wonderful as they are, they can be challenging. They have moments of challenging times. And we need to ask that understanding relationships with the context of, I am not the smartest person in the room. We need to ask God for wisdom and leadership in our homes, in our jobs, in our community. We need Solomon's heart.
Right.
We need to ask God for insight and decisions so that we are not haste or irresponsible in our decision making. We need to ask God for purity and motives so that we can ask God for things with the right heart. We need to ask God to help us to see people the way he sees them. How does Solomon see God's people? They're great people.
Right.
They're great people. Now, when people are being difficult, ain't nothing great about them. That's just real. That's just how we feel. And Solomon has some people, guess what? They were difficult. But he didn't see it, but he wanted to see it like God, like they're great people. They just need direction. They need help. They need to be loved. We need to ask God to help us to see his people the way he sees them. We need to ask God to help us respond instead of reacting. We need to ask God to lead, to help us lead instead of trying to control. It'll be right. If I just can control you and manipulate you and get you to do this, it'll be right. No, Leading is about serving. It's not about controlling.
That's right.
We need to ask God to help us serve instead of dominate. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to be in a friendship, a relationship, where it is a dictator. We need to ask God to help us to build up instead of tearing down. Solomon saw God's people as great people. How do we see each other? We need to ask God to make us wise in our words. They should be formed to love one another, not weaponized to hurt one another.
Yeah.
We need to ask God to make us wise in our finances. You know, stewardship is important to God. Psalms 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." Everything we have, we are being entrusted. Ain't that something? God has given it to us, and He is expecting us to do the best that we can to be great stewards of what belongs to Him. We need to ask God to make us wise in parenting. You know, no matter if your kid is an infant, or your kid is a 20-year-old, 40-year-old, whatever, we need to be great parents.
Yeah.
Even when our kids are difficult. Even when our kids think that they are the adults all of a sudden. We need to be great parents. We need to ask God to make us wise in our ministry.
Yes.
That begins with your first ministry. And what is your first ministry? Your family. Your first ministry is your family. If you're married, it's your spouse. Ask God for wisdom on how to be excellent at that ministry first. And then you can come and be excellent in God's church.
Yes.
We need to ask God to make us wise in our calling. Your calling is to die to self,
mm-hmm.
pick up your cross,
yep.
and follow Jesus.
Amen.
Why? Because He said, "Follow me." So in closing here, guys, when you ask for the right thing first, our God, who is generous, will add the rest. Solomon teaches us a kingdom principle. When you ask for wisdom, God often gives you more than you ask for.
Right.
He gives favor. He gives stability. He gives honor, provision, longevity, and He gives peace.
Amen.
It's not because you earned it. Not because you deserve it. But as in James 5, as it says, because He is generous. That's the God we serve.
Amen.
So today, when you head out this week, let's make Solomon prayer our prayer. The blank check still exists. It still exists. We've just got to ask for the right thing first. Let's follow Solomon's example. And let's ask for the right thing first. And what did Solomon ask for? He said, "Lord, give me a discerning heart." Let's seek wisdom above wealth. Let's seek understanding above comfort. Let's seek God's will above our will.
Amen.
And watch God pour out blessings you didn't even ask for. Amen, amen, guys. Thank you so much.
Amen.